Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. My name is Michelle Stockatelny. I am a clairvoyant medium, spiritual healer, and teacher. And today we are going to spend our hour working on helping you with whatever is kind of going on in your life right now. I'm talking about spiritual guidance. This is very different than a spirit message, which we will be doing again in the next few weeks. But today, what we're going to be doing is I'll be taking callers and asking you what's going on in your life, and you're going to let me know what the primary focus is that you want to talk about today. What is it that's going on that you would like some insight from spirit about? So we're not going to be doing the messages the same way. It won't be where I'll be connecting with your energy and bringing forward information about your loved ones. It's instead we're going to be talking about what's going on for you and seeing what spirit brings forward. Usually this will be from our guides in terms of helping you get on track or to start healing or to start moving forward in the way that you need to in order to overcome whatever obstacle you're facing right now. So we did this actually on Thursday evening, as we do shows on Thursday evenings and Saturday afternoons. And a lot of the calls that we got were about people asking if they were going to get the job or, you know, mostly around career. And that's okay. But it's really important to remember that even if I was connecting for a spirit message, they can't say with 100% certainty that, yes, you're going to get the job, or, you know, no, you're not, or, you know, this is where you're going to get hired. Some people like to focus on these kind of things. That's not what I do, because I very strongly place emphasis on the free will choices of others. So once you've done all you can do, say, for example, for a job, if you've done, you know, placed your resume, you've showed up for the interview, you gave your interview, you've done everything that you possibly can, that's where I say it's time to let it go. It's not in your hands anymore. And sitting there fretting about trying to control an outcome that you simply cannot have full control over isn't going to be helpful to anyone. You know, think about all of the times where you have been so worried about the outcome of something that's coming up, how much time and effort you spent in focusing on the possibilities, focusing on what could go wrong, focusing on whether or not they were considering you, if it was related to a job. All of that energy could have been much better spent in just being in the moment and recognizing that no matter how much you worry, no matter how much you stress, it won't change anything. It won't change what they're going to do. It's not going to change the overall outcome. So once, you know, you have done what you can do in any given situation and you've given it your all, you've done everything with your full heart, you've done everything that you possibly can do, it's time to let go. And letting go, I know, sounds very difficult sometimes because we want to be told, you know, it's gonna work out. You know, everything's going to be fine, or you're going to get the job, or you're going to, you know, find the person you're going to be with forever. And I mean, all of those things sound so nice, but they aren't the reason we're here. We're not here to, you know, always get the job. We're not here to always find someone, you know, and live happily ever after. We're here to learn. So that means that there's going to be ups and downs. And so while you might find someone for, you know, in terms of a relationship, you might find, you know, that you attract a certain type of person who is very draining and very difficult. And you're wondering, why am I always attracting these kind of people? And you kind of go from one relationship to another. And then you're like, you just don't want to do it anymore. And then you start to think, well, what can I change? Because it's not about the people that you're attracting. It's about what you're putting out there that's attracting these people. So it all starts from within. And this applies to every aspect of your life. You know, anything that you're kind of done dealing with a certain type of cycle, if you're not feeling up to, you know, having another relationship that's been kind of the same as the last few, then it's time to say, I need time on my own. I need time to reflect. I need time to figure out what I need to do in order to get to where I want to go. Because it is all about you. You know, your path is all about you. What people bring, you know, to you, they're not bringing you happiness. They're not bringing you joy. They should be complementing your life because you guys have a symbiotic relationship. Everything is, you know, complementary. But it's not about looking for someone to complete you or make you whole or anything like that. And same with a job, you know, it's not about waiting for the perfect job to just show up. It's about putting yourself out there and then thinking of new ways, you know, allowing your guides to give you guidance to help you find out different ways of getting yourself out there. And sometimes, and this is going to be difficult for people if they are in between jobs and they really, really don't like that, that's sometimes a sign from spirit saying you need to slow down. You need time to rest. You know, if you're a person who doesn't like to take vacation and don't like to, you know, take time for yourself, you might be getting kind of forced into doing so because you might be ignoring your health. You might be ignoring things that you need to do. You know, you might have relationships with family members or friends or loved ones that are being kind of ignored because you're so focused on something that you want that you aren't giving much of yourself to those that are in your life. So sometimes it's important not to be so focused on the outcome of any situation as opposed to keeping a mindful watch on the process of it, because sometimes we miss the fact that we are being taught something, but we have an opportunity to learn. And that's what I was saying on the Thursday show, that I don't view these challenges as being tested, but rather that they are more opportunities. You know, they're opportunities for us to learn and grow and experience and to achieve, you know, a greater understanding of ourselves and, you know, this world and everything that we're here for. So, you know, I find it helps a lot to look for a deeper meaning and not to just see it at face value where, oh, I need a job. I need to go out there and keep looking for a job. Take a deep breath. Take your time. Think about what it is you could be learning right now. Patience and acceptance and letting go. Those are a few that come to mind. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the ways that spirit helps guide us. But we're also going to be taking your calls, and we'll take a call right now, and then we'll talk a bit more. Hello, may I have your name, please?
Claims to use the money for eight
Hello?
Projects around. We've been investigating concerns about how credit aid operates. We found
Hello?
Yeah,
I can hear your TV, I think, but I can't hear you.
The organization goes by different names.
Maybe put them back on hold, and then we'll see if they hear us after.
Phone off the hook here, Steve. Is there a phone off the hook here somewhere? The
Hello?
TV set? Hello?
Hello, you're
Hello?
On the air with Michelle. Hello?
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying so hard. Thank
okay,
you so much.
Take a deep breath. Everything's fine. Take a deep breath. What's your name?
Couldn't figure out why you couldn't hear me.
No, it's okay. Okay, take a deep breath. What's your name?
My name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you? Take a deep breath. Okay. Take a deep breath. Everything's fine. Take your time, okay? Everything's fine. So what is going on for you right now, Lisa?
I have found that in my life, I take two steps forward, and I have to work very hard for those two steps, and then I get terrible setbacks, and I'm just not talking like about a bad haircut. I'm talking terrible. And
okay.
It's become a pattern, and
okay.
I see that I'm not learning a lesson, and I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, can you give me a bit of an example? Like, what is it that you're trying to do, and then how significant are the setbacks that are occurring to you?
I started learning Reiki and everything 3 years ago, and
okay.
My son did something catastrophic that set me back, and I haven't seen him
anymore.
And then I was doing better and started to, I was asking people in stores, can I give you Reiki just so I could practice?
Mm-hmm.
And I get this horrible rash on my face that I look like a monster. And it's like, I don't want to leave the house now or see anybody because nobody will let me put their hands on them when the doctors sit back 3 feet from me and look at me and go, well, I don't know what you have. So I feel like what is happening to me that this awful things keep happening. There's a lot in between all of that, but those are the most catastrophic.
Okay, well, I'm
people
very sorry to hear about that.
People that I think are my friends, I find out they've kind of been backstabbing me, so I'm afraid of people, and I just don't know what to do anymore.
Okay. Well, so the first three things that I hear is, well, your son did something catastrophic. That was out of your control. You have a rash on your face, but that is out of your control. Your friends, you know, they aren't who they seem, but that is out of your control. So all of the things that you say are happening to you, they're happening around you, but they're not directly at, you know, they're not happening to you in the sense that people are trying to hurt you in this way, if that makes sense. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That they're making their own choices. They're choosing how to go about their own paths. Well, except for the face rash, that's different. But with your friends and your son, those are choices that they've made. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. And with the rash, does this happen all of the time, or does this only happen when you're kind of out and about? Like, is it anxiety driven, or is it all of the time?
My aunt called me 2 weeks before Mother's Day and told me that my mother never loved me and just put up with me to have me in her life. And
oh my God.
That's when I got the rash.
So it sounds very stress-driven. And I can't even imagine why anyone would ever think to say something so awful. So God bless your aunt. I hope that she's, you know, she gets the healing that she needs, because it sounds like she's an unhappy person.
Yes.
So how long have you had this rash for?
It's been like 5 weeks now.
5 weeks. Okay. Have you been to, and you've been to doctors, you've been to, have you seen any natural doctors at all?
I saw 3 naturopaths and 5 doctors.
And no one could help? No one suggested anything that was helpful?
Nothing has worked.
Okay. Well, but they've ruled out issues, right? They've ruled out other possibilities, illnesses and stuff like that could have brought this on, right? Because I'm not a doctor, and I have to make sure that in a physical world that you've seen. Okay, so we could talk about the spiritual side of it then, because I always have to make sure that you have been checked out by a medical professional, which I am not. But okay, so if the serious stuff has been ruled out, and it's, to me it sounds, I mean, if it happened immediately after your aunt said those horrible things, then it tells me that it's bringing up emotions that you haven't been able to fully process yet. So it's kind of like, have you ever heard, you know, like that term, when your skin is boiling? You know, it's all of these kind of phrases, they have origins from long ago that we forget, but we say them anyway. And this to me is kind of applies to you in the sense that you sound like a very sweet person, and I don't feel like you probably express your emotions fully, especially ones that are about anger and sadness and stuff like that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably very difficult for you to. Have you said anything to your aunt about, you know, why would you say something like this to me? Why would you call me and be purposefully hurtful? And how did she respond?
She told me that I am a needy person. Her son killed himself, and so I've been trying to be extra kind to her, and I make these blankets. So I bought blankets to her house and cookies. And she didn't answer the door, and they live very far away, so I left them at the door. And she said, I dropped them and run because I don't want to face people. And I said, no, I left it because it was a long trip and it was hard to get to your house.
Right. Well, it sounds like in her own grief, she's lacking empathy, which, I mean, is unfortunate. But you got to remember, whatever she says and does, it's about her and not you. She's likely probably acting this way to many others and is repressing her own grief, unfortunately, which, you know, is something that a lot of people do. They don't know how to process it, so it, you know, kind of, they lash out. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. She's, okay. I heard she lashed out some other family members too, but.
Right. So it might help a lot for you not to take it personally, to remember that she's hurting a lot and she doesn't know how to express it in a healthy way. So she's lashing out because, you know, sometimes it's a very subconscious thing. She doesn't know why she's doing it, but it's, you know, it's a subconscious action in that she's hurting so much, so everyone else around her has to hurt at least as much. And that's why, right, that these kind of things are coming out. And it's very unfortunate, but you cannot take it personally because it's not about you. It's about her and her grief.
It had teeth because I went to see my mother before she died at her office. She had been at for 28 years, and they said, they looked at me and they go, we didn't know you had 2 daughters. So that hurt that day, and have her call me and do that, it had teeth. You know what I mean? It was like, oh,
I understand. Right. Well, I'm very sorry about that. You know, and of course, I would suggest, based on, I don't know how long your mom has been home, but a good mediumship reading might help too, in that getting that closure and that peace from, you know, having her come through and maybe validate why she was the way she was when she was here. Often, we don't know why, especially parents, act a certain way when we're here. But again, it really has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with them. I mean, I can't, because I'm not doing messages today, I can only speculate, obviously. But I would say that, you know, it's time to bring the focus back to yourself and to remember that you need to love yourself first and foremost. It doesn't matter, you know, who does and who doesn't. It matters that you love yourself and accept yourself. You sound like a very caring, wonderful person, and I can hear that in your voice. I can hear that you want to help people because you've taken the Reiki and you want to be a healer, and that is beautiful. And so what we need to focus on first is getting you back to optimal health so that you can be balanced and centered and focused enough to offer this to other people and not worry about what your family members think or what anyone else around you is thinking or saying. And it sounds like boundaries need to be set so that you're not taking on this energy from other people, especially those who are kind of lashing out, because it sounds like you don't want to hurt them. So you kind of take it, and then this just keeps kind of building up your stress. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
Okay. And so what have you done for yourself recently? What is something that you've done to help yourself get better or help yourself feel better? You know, do you find that you've been ignoring your needs, or do you find that you've been kind of focusing on bringing better nutrition into your body and exercising? Have you been focusing on any of this at all?
I'm taking tons of supplements, and I was already on a road of never not eating well, and found out that I was a lot sicker than I thought I was and had been on a lot more nutrition. So this rash happening has been like, really? I'm doing all of this? I haven't put a bite.
Well, sometimes you can do too much of a good thing too. So, you know, think about how much you're doing and making sure that all of the supplements you are taking aren't going to interact with each other, because especially if you're taking certain ones that have like antibiotic or antiviral properties, sometimes they don't mix well together. You know, sometimes they're very strong. We sometimes think that with the natural stuff that, oh, it just can't hurt us. You know, we can take as much as we want. But even in nature, things sometimes when they're combined, it's just too much for our bodies. And so it might be a good time to sit down with a naturopath and show them everything that you are taking and make sure that everything is exactly as it should be. Or maybe there's things that you need to reduce, or maybe there's things you need to add, and getting that kind of advice. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm very supervised by the naturopaths right now.
Okay, good. That's good. And they have
acts when I'm trying so hard, why I keep getting thrown back on my bottom when I'm
right.
trying so hard to move forward, why I keep getting tossed backwards.
Well, it's not that, it's not that you're getting punished. I mean, often that's what people think. We're getting punished, so it's going to keep happening, and I'm tired of dealing with this. I myself was very sick for the last 2 years. And very, very sick. I've had to have multiple surgeries and all that. And January of this year, I was not sure I was going to see another year, just simply based on how I felt, honestly. But then I saw a natural doctor, and I learned that my body wasn't absorbing anything and all that. And anyway, fast forward to now, I am infinitely better than I was even just at the end of this January. So this is why I strongly encourage people to see natural doctors, because not that they can cure everything or anything like that, but it is important. But you already do this, so that's great. But it tells me that if they're not able to figure out what is going on with this rash, have they mentioned the possibility of it being mostly stress induced?
Mm-hmm.
They've mentioned this to you?
No, they didn't at all.
Okay, because that's
but
what it sounds like to me.
This is what I'm thinking at this point.
So what I'm thinking is that it would be very good for you to start a few methods of trying to get the stress out, trying to get the emotions out. For instance, writing letters to people that have hurt you, and, you know, never sending them. Obviously, you know, if anyone's passed, you can't send it, but they'll still see it. But to your aunt, for example, I mean, getting out the emotions, because have you really fully processed the hurt or the anger that you feel from those situations? Have you ever really allowed yourself to feel those emotions yet?
I think I felt them because I've been crying nonstop.
Well, crying is good because it does release some of the stress. But when you think about those situations, the things that have happened, it's still bringing up unpleasant emotional and physical reactions, correct?
I have PTSD from what my son did, so I just completely fall apart a lot.
Okay. Okay. And are you seeing someone to help you with this side of things in the kind of the mental health area, like someone you can talk with, someone you trust?
Yes, but they really can't help me because they make me fall apart too much, and then they can't send me home, so they don't treat me.
Okay.
They give Xanax to cover it all up.
Right. And does that help you at all?
That's the only thing that helps.
So what it sounds like, very slowly, getting the emotions out, not all at once, but thinking about something that, like, these things replay in your mind, obviously, over and over again, correct?
Yes. I try to do tapping. I'm trying to do tapping YouTube videos, and that helps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't really practice that. I've seen it, and some people love it very much, but I don't think you're there yet. I think that's more of a, after we get the emotions out, after we get some clarity and start to focus on the healing aspect. Because right now, to me, it sounds like you're still very much in the moment with a few of these situations. And until we get to the part where we're starting to accept what has happened and start to accept the things that we cannot change nor control, it's difficult to work on the healing aspect of it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why I'm saying writing it out, you know, writing to your son, writing to your mom, writing to your aunt, even just journaling in a sense, things that come up in your mind. Okay, well, you're thinking about it and you're dwelling on it. And then you just write out, this is like, right, basically write out exactly what happened and write out how you feel about it. And then just put it away for a while and don't read it again right away. But doing this is a form of getting it out. Because when we're not getting it out, it's just kind of boiling and bubbling beneath our skin. And this will, you know, continue to manifest itself very physically. If they haven't been able to find out a reason for this rash, then it tells me that this is likely what's happening on the spiritual side of things. It's all, you know, kind of beneath the surface, and it needs to come out so that you can start breathing lighter and being happier and starting to focus on your own personal healing. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. A lot.
Okay. And so it's important that, you know, by writing it out, you don't sit there and focus on, you say you break down when maybe you're pushed too hard, or if you think about it too much. Is that how it works? If you're thinking about what happened and it kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'll go we used to go or something, and I just suddenly realized that I'm melting down.
Right. Okay. And so what I would like to give you too then is a tool to use so that when this starts to happen, you need to bring your mind back to the moment, not focus on what happened. Okay. And so, do you have any crystals at all? I would assume since you do Reiki, you have maybe a crystal quartz at least, or a rose quartz?
Yes,
okay.
I love them.
So one of the stones that might fit in a pocket, or even if you have a bracelet or a necklace, just something that is close to you, and you go out with this stone, and every time you start to notice that you're starting to get tense and, you know, breathing is getting, you know, tighter and all that, and you're not feeling good, hold on to this crystal. And inhale deeply through your nose and exhale slowly through your mouth and remind yourself, I am okay. I am in this moment. All will be well. You might not believe it at first, but if you repeat this a few times and constantly do mindful breathing, inhaling deeply through your nose and exhaling slowly through your mouth, you'll find that your body starts to respond as opposed to keep getting more tense and more tense until you start to have what I would presume is an attack of some sort, or, you know, just feeling not well at all. And by doing this, you know, by holding this stone, it grounds you. It helps you to remain in the moment. Does that make sense? Do you think it's something you could try?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And so bring this stone with you everywhere. And remind yourself that, you know, especially if you're out in public, that you are grounded, you are protected, your spirit guides love you, you are safe. And just, you know, remind yourself of these things, because it'll help to reduce the anxiety so that you can get through the next 10 minutes, then the next 20 minutes, then the next 30 minutes. And it's a slow process of building up, but once you get started, you're going to find a huge difference, and you're going to feel much more in control of yourself, which I think is what you're probably feeling right now, is that you're not in control of how your body's going to react or how your mind's going to react, and that provides anxiety even before you step out of the house. Is that how you feel?
Yes.
Okay. And so even before you leave the house, hold on to this stone and just close your eyes and inhale deeply and exhale slowly, and just remind yourself, I am grounded, I am protected, I am safe. Everything that I'm experiencing is temporary. And I will be okay, you know. And, you know, you can say things in your own words as you get started, but and I know sometimes these things might sound silly, but they're not. It's very important to remind ourselves. I'm sorry?
Not at all.
Okay, good. So, you know, write these things down. And, of course, if you missed any of this, you can always listen to this again and write it down so that you can just have that these tools with you, because it will empower you to start taking more control over yourself again, over your life, and the things that you can control. Okay? And then as you continue on, you'll be able to be more ready to start focusing on the other aspects of healing. Okay? I really hope this helps you. I know that you have there's a long way to go, but you know what? I feel like this is a really good start for you, and I'm praying that this helps you to get started and to start feeling more at peace, even just a little bit by little bit. And when you start to experience a setback, if you know don't let your mind go to, oh, not this again. Oh, I've done this so many times. Oh, don't get caught in the negativity of it. Go, okay, I have survived everything that I have faced so far. There is no reason why I will not survive this. Empower yourself so that you can get through it. It might not feel pleasant. It might not feel great. But by empowering yourself with these thoughts, you're providing yourself with a higher vibrational energy. And you're inviting healing, loving energy into yours. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. Very good. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I hope you'll call the show again. Go ahead.
I hope that you get better. I have been through many surgeries in the last few years, and I understand that it's very debilitating, so I hope you do well.
Oh, I'm much better than I was, and, you know, it's a continuing process, and that's why I'm happy to share what I have experienced, simply because I know how it can feel to have setback after setback after setback, and I completely empathize and understand, so and I'm going to pray for your healing as well, okay?
Well, thank you. God bless you so much for what you do. Thank you.
You're welcome. Blessings to you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So it is so important to recognize what is and what is not within our control. Spirit tries their best to help us with this. It's hard to stay focused in the moment. We tend to be thinkers of the past and dwellers of the future, and we want to change what has happened or control what's, you know, we hope will happen. And this is something that we have to learn to let go of. No amount of worry is going to change anything or control anything that is not within our control. But what is within our control is what we do with ourselves, how we choose to react. Especially when people say things or do things, you know, that we don't resonate with, if it bothers us. If we allow ourselves to take everything personally, then we're going to be miserable, absolutely miserable. Meanwhile, most of what is said to us isn't about us at all. It is simply about those who, you know, said it or did it or whatever. It's about them and their path, where they are based on, you know, their own paths at this time. We have to remember that it's not about us. And likewise, what we say and do is about us and our path. So sometimes we might think, oh, so-and-so is making me so angry. So-and-so is making me do this or do that. No one is making you do anything. If you're getting angry based on someone else's actions or getting upset over their words or anything else, stop and take a big breath and say, what is it about them and what they're doing that is bringing out something about myself that I don't particularly like? Because whatever it is, it's something about you. Not about them. And that can be hard to deal with sometimes because, you know, we don't want to deal with that. You know, we want to just blame someone else and say, it's their fault they're doing this. Well, I mean, and of course, this isn't for all cases. I mean, sometimes people just aren't quite there yet and they do things that are hurtful. It helps to be very forgiving. Not forgiving in the sense that you constantly put yourself in harm's way where you're going to be taking their words or actions, you know, over and over again, but forgiving in a way that you don't carry their energy with you. You forgive them for, you know, for lashing out because of their anger and their hurt, you know, and letting it go and then walking on your own path, but with firm boundaries. You don't have to take on anyone else's energy. Okay, we're going to take someone else's call now. Hello, may I have your name, please?
Hi, my name's Rose.
Hi, Rose. How are you?
A little bit stressed.
Okay. Well, how can I help you today? What's going on?
Well, I want to know what you pick up about my work. The last 2 weeks, I have been having, like, serious, serious problems with the owner of the company. It seems like just out of the blue, I can't do anything right. I'm constantly being called in his office about stuff that I'm been doing the same way like for the last 2 years, and all of a sudden everything is wrong. Yesterday I got called in on something that I wasn't even involved in and got talked to, you know, like for, I think it was like a half hour, and I wasn't even involved in it.
Right.
And what else? I got passed over for a promotion. It's just like, I'm just feeling overwhelmed, you know? I don't even want to go back.
No, I understand. Well, today we're not doing spirit messages, but this is a perfect case for spiritual guidance, and that's what we're doing today. So since this started happening, it sounds like something is going on with your boss. Have you told them how you're feeling about what they've been saying and doing and kind of acting, like how they're reacting towards you? Have you had the opportunity to say, I don't know if you're going through something right now, but I've noticed that since this time you've been, you know, very hard on me, and I'm just wondering, what can I do to help you through this? Have you thought about saying something like that?
You know, I've thought about it, but every time other people have gone and spoken to him, they usually walk away in tears because he's just very brash. He doesn't think about anything he says, and, you know, mm-hmm. he never apologizes for anything. He's just, basically, he's just a mean person.
Right. Well, it doesn't sound like someone very pleasant to work with, unfortunately. Is this behavior, though, very different than how it's been in the past, or is it just different now that it's more directed at you than it was?
You know, there were, you know, once or twice he would say something, but it wasn't like it is now. It's just like I feel like, you know, I'm constantly being barraged by, you know, all this negativity.
Mm-hmm. And is this a place that you would want to continue working, even if you could help your boss get through whatever it is causing them to lash out in this way?
I mean, if I could just do my job and be left alone, you know, without mm-hmm. all the drama, then yes, I would like to. But seriously, the way it is now, I don't even want to go back. It's just like when I left on Friday for my lunch, I just sat in my car and I just cried the whole time and took everything I had to go back in.
That doesn't sound right. Is there an HR department or is the company too small?
Well, there's an HR person. However, she went from accounting into HR and doesn't know anything about HR. So
well, she's there for
like,
the position, though. She's going to have to step up. I mean, does she know about what's been going on? Do you think you could confide in her and say, I can't work under these conditions? A person simply should not be, as you said, barraged at work and sitting in their car at lunchtime crying because of what their boss is doing. So it sounds like someone needs to step up and say, we're happy to work for you, but you have to respect us as well. You know, he might think that, I don't know how old your boss is, but I mean, maybe he's more old school. He thinks that he has to be a certain way to get things done. In my experience, I think people are much more productive when they're happy. So he maybe needs to be reminded
exactly.
of this, you know.
Exactly. But no, because she's the same way. She has the new accounting person who reports directly to her, and she treats her the same way.
Is this, do you think, because of how she's watched your other boss treat his employees? Do you think she's learned from him?
I think she thinks it's okay because he does it and gets away with it. I think it's a learned behavior, and also some
yeah.
of it is because she doesn't particularly like the lady who's under her.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to like everyone you work with, but I mean, respect doesn't cost anything,
right.
you know,
right.
and I think that, you know, with having the limited information I have, I would say that someone, you know, needs to stand up and say, this isn't okay, because it's not okay. You're probably not even the only one that's been crying about it at lunchtime. I mean, if everyone is getting upset and miserable and hating their job, I mean, if everyone walks out, he's going to take notice, right, where it's like, you can't treat people this way. It's not going to be a happy, productive place. Like, it can be a place of business. He can be serious about it, but he shouldn't be letting people leave his office in tears simply because they're telling him that what he's doing is not okay, right? So I think that maybe, have you talked to other employees that maybe feel the same way as you?
Oh, yeah. A bunch of people, like, are looking for other positions, but, you know, it's just hush-hush. Nobody wants
yeah.
to talk about it at work, you know, because everybody's, like, at their breaking point. They've had it. And people have been there for years, and they're like, he's gotten worse. I don't know what's going on. I can't stand it anymore. I mean, it's not just me. You know, it's company-wide. And he's the kind of person who you can't talk to.
Well, that is the worst quality to have as a boss, because a boss needs to be someone you can speak with, obviously. Well, just one thought that comes to mind, I think it's from my guides, is if you all work together to hire a mediator, you know, and I don't know if the company would pay for this or something like that, but it sounds like what you need is someone who isn't going to be directly affected by his reaction to voice your concerns. And to say,
mm-hmm.
you're not, you know, you're not able to see what you want to see in with this this company if all of your employees are so miserable that they are looking for other jobs and crying and upset and, you know, hurt all the time. It's how does anything get done, right? I think someone needs to wake him up and say, you have to, you know, you can't force someone to change, but sometimes they need to be, oh, that's a good idea too. My guy just gave me another idea. Do you have well, everyone has those fancy phones. I don't have a fancy phone. I don't know about them, but can you record how he talks to you?
You know what? I've thought about that too, but I had to download an app for my work, and that took all the memory I have because I thought about that too. I would really like to have that.
Well,
so I
ask
could
one
say
of your
this is what it is,
yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, maybe one of your other coworkers would have a phone that can do that, and you guys could each carry it that day or something like that and try to get every conversation recorded. I don't know what the how that works in terms of companies and all that, but it's an idea. Giving him, you know, not for legal issues or anything like that, just simply, this is how we hear you. You know, listen to yourself. Would you want to be talked to this, like this? Would you feel like you could be productive and happy in a work environment if you were spoken to like this all of the time? Sometimes people need to hear themselves before they can say, hey, that's not how I sound. Oh my gosh, that's awful. You know, and so I would say talk to your other coworkers on Monday or Tuesday and see what they are willing to do. You know, some of them may already have a foot out the door and not care anymore, which sounds like you're kind of getting to that point too, where it's like, I don't really know how much effort I want to put into this because it's not working for me. But if it's a place you think you could be happy at again, and it's simply a matter of making them aware of how you feel. And that's true too. You can make them aware of how you feel, the HR person and your boss, they might not change at all. And then that would be a good time to say, okay, I'll take this as an opportunity to leave. I'm going to find something else. You know, they can do with the information what they will, but they're going to find that people aren't going to be very loyal about being there if they're going to be berated all the time. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense because a lot of people, you know, have left good people, good workers, you know, and it's because of this. They're just like, I can't take it anymore. It's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It shouldn't be so painful to have him respect everyone as a person. You know, it's something that should be expected at any workplace at this point. And I hope that you'll consider some of the options that we were talking about, possibly a mediator, possibly recording him, just to help them be more aware of the situation and its seriousness. You know, if all of you are starting to look for other jobs, you know, they might just think it's not them, it's everyone else. But if you can make it very clear that, you know, their actions are having consequences that are pretty dire, maybe they'll think about changing in a more positive way. But unfortunately,
yeah,
there's nothing I can
scenario.
Do about that in terms of, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I said, yeah, best case scenario.
Exactly, right? But even if I was connecting with spirit, I mean, they wouldn't be able to say, oh yeah, he's going to change. Chances are, I mean, my instincts are saying that he's probably not handling a personal aspect of his life very well, and this is causing him to act out in this way. But, you know, obviously without connecting, I can't say for sure. Not that I would anyway, because I wouldn't connect with someone else's energy without their permission. But for you specifically, you need to weigh out your options and decide what it is you want most. How much effort are you willing to put in to change the situation, to help improve the situation, versus would you rather find it at a place where, you know, you can expect to be respected?
Exactly, exactly. Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Take care. God bless you. And that's just it. I mean, especially if we're in a situation where there are other people involved and we just don't know what they're thinking or why they're acting the way they are. Sometimes we won't know exactly why someone is acting the way they do. This helps us. One of our spirit guide roles, the guide of compassion, helps us with this because they help us to empathize with others, even if we don't understand their situation. So an example I like to use is when you're driving and someone cuts you off and you don't know why, and they almost got you into a wreck, but they're speeding along. Don't get angry, because you don't know that they're not racing to the hospital to say goodbye to a dying parent. You don't know that they're, you know, that something else is going on in their life that has them doing that. So try to be empathetic. Chances are, I mean, it might have just been that's who they are. Okay, fine. But what's your health worth? Every time you hold on to something stressful like that, something that angers you, it just impacts you. You're not going to be hurting them by how much you're angry about it. And that doesn't mean you should never get angry. Everyone is going to experience the whole range of emotions. And it's healthy to feel them fully, provided that you do so in a help. In situations where you can't fully comprehend why someone does something that they do, try to go with best case scenario. You know, try to go with the thing that would make you empathize with them the most and feel the stress melt off of you. Feel that tension melt away. You'll be much happier for it, you know, because we're not always going to understand, and nor should we. I mean, everyone has a right to their private life, and sometimes that creeps into work or creeps into other things, but it's up to you how much you allow it to affect you. In a situation like we just spoke about with our caller, you know, it's affecting everyone. And so this is why I would say in a situation like that, the best thing you should do is to approach the person or people that are behaving in this way to give them the opportunity to see it through others' eyes. It doesn't mean that they'll instantly change or be remorseful or even care at all, but at least you got it out. You provided the information for them, and then they get to do with it what they will. If they don't change at all, don't start to respect others more or start to treat others the way they want to be treated, then it's time to move on. And moving on can be sometimes a very healthy thing that we do. It's hard if we've been at a place for a long time or in a relationship for a long time. But if you don't stay true to yourself, you don't stay true to what your gut instincts are telling you, then you're only going to make yourself ill. You know, our body will manifest itself in physical ways through illness or other things when we don't follow our hearts, and when we don't acknowledge the kind of stress we're feeling, don't acknowledge the emotions. If you try to repress everything and push it all down so far down that you won't think of it anymore, it'll come up regardless. So my philosophy is to deal with it in the moment as much as you can, and to deal with things as soon as possible after the fact, so that you're not carrying it with you anymore. It helps you to sleep better, that's for sure. Because I mean, before all of this, in my early 20s, I was very anxious. I dwelled on the past so much. I even dwelled on things that just happened so much that I couldn't sleep. And I was worried about how people would have misconstrued the things that I said or did, or if they knew my intent, or, you know, how things were going to turn out the next day at work. If you're going to have a horribly unhealthy gut, if that's how you're going about things, and, you know, the tension in your neck and your shoulders. And ever since I started healing, focusing on what I could do to accept, forgive, let go, what I could do to especially forgive others and myself. And, you know, it's a process, but a very, very good one. I find that I was really surprised by, I can't remember the last time I worried about something like that. I can't remember the last time that I sat up at night worried about an outcome. Even, you know, something that would have had me up for weeks and weeks, like an impending surgery, for example. The last two surgeries I had, even though, you know, still stressful, I slept like a baby the night before, simply because I knew I couldn't control the outcome, and what would be. And so while it's hard and difficult to focus on your own healing, it is every bit of it worth it for that peace of mind and that ability to kind of prioritize things in your life. We're going to take another caller now. Hello, may I have your name, please?
Hi, this is Kate.
Hi, Kate, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Did you attempt to take my call earlier?
I did try to take a call, and we heard the TV, but there was no one answering, so was that possibly you?
That was NPR Radio. Please forgive me.
I didn't realize
that the program had begun, and
I went into
another room, so I heard your voice, and by that time, I do believe in synchronicity, mm-hmm. and that there are no accidents. And
absolutely.
I think the order of the calls has been perfect this afternoon.
Perfect. Well, thank you for saying that, and I'm glad you called back.
Oh, my goodness. And I have to lead with, you are such a pure spirit.
Oh, thank you.
It's
one of the nicest things that anyone's ever said to me.
Oh, my gosh. It's so evident that you are such a pure spirit. I do have a couple of comments that may or may not be helpful. If Rose is still listening, if she would be very cautionary and check her state laws. In some states, it's illegal to record someone without their permission.
That's what I was thinking. I'm glad you brought that because I'm in Canada, so I don't know, especially if this, if she was calling from the States, I don't know what the laws are.
Right.
So thank you for bringing that up.
it varies from state to state, and in some states, it's a crime.
Oh, my goodness. I did not know that.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Still listen. Well,
hopefully.
You know, when we know better, we all learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully, I have been on both sides. I've worked as an administrator, and obviously, everybody has a boss. If they could collectively come together and perhaps put something in writing, or if their authority is comfortable with it, meet with them. People don't like to be ganged up on or surprised.
Right.
So even for people with authority, that can be a little sensitive.
Right.
It's very disarming for people to approach anyone with, I truly am here to support you in every way I can, and I genuinely like doing my job well. What is it that we can do collectively to help you meet the goals of the organization? I mean,
absolutely.
Who can get upset with that?
Well, that's the thing. And if he's going to get upset, that's okay. But at least they're putting it out there. And I think that's a great way to go about it. As I did say to her at the beginning, where it was, you know, let's focus on what we can do to help you get through what's going on with you so that we can all have a more peaceful work environment. Absolutely.
Exactly. If they approach him with, your behavior is not okay, he's likely to get defensive. That's my experience. I don't know this man, so maybe he won't. Many, many times I have experienced people who, if you say your behavior is not okay, they immediately defend it. And especially if they're in a position of authority, well, I'm the boss, and I decide.
Exactly.
So I'm done with your empathy. You are coming from such a pure place. You just can't understand. What? Say, oh, my gosh, I offended you. I'm not doing things to everybody's highest and best good. You just can't even wrap your mind around it. I can tell.
Oh, yes, maybe. Oh. And was there anything I could help you with today at all?
Well, gosh, I am drawn to listen and to call. So you've already helped me because I've listened to everything. And
oh, wonderful.
It was just, again, coming from such a pure place and such light and healing energy. So just listening, that's been helpful. You're so welcome. So I'm always open to any guidance that is coming through for you, or I know that sounds very general, but just anything at all that I am meant to hear today.
Okay, well, like I said before, we're not doing spirit messages, but I'm happy to see if there's anything that your guides are just going to kind of throw at me to help you. And I'm just picking up right now. Let's see. Well, the one thing that I do feel with you is that obviously you have natural healing abilities. I don't know if you focus on that at all, but it does feel like you could focus on that more. Does that make sense?
I do. I as you were instructing, guiding the previous caller about, excuse me, when you leave the house, mine is always to leave with making every situation, circumstance, encounter better than I find it.
Absolutely.
So I just, and that reflects on me and makes me feel better and do better. And yeah, it lightens the energy. So I do come from a place of, in every encounter, if there's something to heal here, let me do it. And that could be smiling at a child. It doesn't have to be something magnanimous and newsworthy. It might just be holding a door for somebody.
It's the little things that count. Absolutely, I agree. Smiling at people as you walk by. I find I'm one of those people that smiles at everyone when I walk by them, and I get maybe out of every 10 people, I get maybe one smile back, and that's okay. I still do it. But I like to live in a world where people smile at each other. You know, it's just...
And it's your world. Keep creating it.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And so it's what we put out there. And it's absolutely the little things. The things that we can do, you know, an encouraging word. You know, if I see somebody doing... Like, especially if they're creating something, if they're creating art or just making something, I love to say something encouraging to them. You know, there's always something that we can say to others that can boost their spirits. Because we never know how they're feeling, right? So I think every one of us has the ability to bring love and healing and light to someone else's life simply by being open enough to be aware of what's going on, which is why if you're, you know, and this is to everyone, if there's anyone that leaves the house and is really focused on their phone, I say, please put it away. Because you know what? You don't need to be connected all of the time. Get connected in a different way. Look at the world around you. I don't look at my phone when I leave the house till I get home, because I like to be aware of what's going on around me and to interact with people in a different way. So,
yeah, I think that I know that in many ways, as was predicted before the advent of these devices, that they can easily become an escape mechanism. Yeah. So having said that, without getting too pseudo psychological, the other thing that comes up for me is that for all of us, when we talk about you and I leaving our homes and going out into public spaces, when someone is behaving in a way that is less than helpful or is my immediate thought was not elevating us, and I was attempting to pose it in a more positive way.
Right.
Having said that, to just sit and send someone love and light, that can also be very disarming without saying a word.
Absolutely. I mean, I do teach a spiritual healing course, and I teach this where you can always send healing. We don't have to connect with anyone's energy.
Yep.
We don't have to find out anything about them, but you can always send it. The healing energy will always be used for the greatest good. Whether they accept it or not, someone else will. And absolutely, it helps deflect some of the maybe negativity or the tension that's being thrown at us for whatever reason. You know, I say an opening that includes, you know, whatever, you know, anything lower than my own vibration comes at me, may, you know, rebound and be sent back with unconditional love. You know, and something like that, something as simple like that, it can make a world of difference, especially to those who are very sensitive to the energies.
Mm-hmm. And this is a huge reminder to me that we can, with boundaries, we can absolutely deny or make the decision not to engage in the negativity or the critical or the judgment. And one of the things that I find helpful is to simply sit and think, well, isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I wonder how it came to that awareness or that opinion. And not be disrespectful in any way or disregard what someone's saying, but simply, as many spiritual writers and healers have said, to be the observer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Rather than
sometimes...
be engaged.
Yeah. Well, yes, so because someone might give their opinion about something and they might feel very strongly about it. And often people will take it very personally because it's so opposing what they've done or what they've said or how they feel. Meanwhile, it has nothing to do with them. If you kind of disengage, and detach yourself from those words or those actions and kind of watch it, absorb it, and respond to it with a peaceful comment, if anything at all, it helps you not to take on that energy and carry it with you for sure.
Well,
I really appreciate your
because, as you told the caller, most of the time we are looking outward for how we feel and think and act. Instead of coming from a place of inward, we're looking to others. And just as you said, no one can make you feel that way. You hear people say, well, they said this to me or they did that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you put more value in what they're saying or doing than on yourself.
Exactly.
And
I very much resonate with that.
To be true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And all of us, I think it's an everyday moment to moment experience to remind ourselves, this is my world and I am creating it. And thank you for allowing me to say that out loud. And
it's wonderful.
My boss were going, yes, yes.
Well, thank you for sharing your insights today. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Well, you're very welcome. And I hope you'll call back another time.
Many blessings.
Oh, blessings to you. Bye-bye. Absolutely. I love when people call in to just share their own insights and what they feel. I mean, we all need that sometimes where, you know, we feel the urge to share something that, is, you know, means something to us, to have the opportunity to do so, then, you know, take it. Don't be afraid to call. I love to hear your views. I love to hear what you think about what we've been talking about. There's just so much we can say. Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to take one more caller before our show is over today. Hello, may I have your name, please?
It's Jay calling from Canada. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm well, thank you. What can I help you with today?
Oh, you're talking about, were you talking about how spirit helps you on your path?
Yes.
Definitely a spirit, whether it's, you know, the angels are usually help me on my spirit path. But I usually get signs that I'm on the right path by the different, like the signs that are in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
That in form of maybe, for example, would be the spirit animals or spirit guides that are around me too. And
right.
And also the signs I get from the angels all the time. So in terms of numbers or things like that. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
they're always there to keep me on straightened path. So I always get but I always get kind of confused in how our path goes in this world where we have our soul path where it kind of like where it wants to go, and also the path that keeps us on the path, which is our, you know, our guides or spirits or that keep us there too. So and where we live in this world of free will and choice too.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it's kind of interesting to me still. I always get, sometimes I get confused about that too, like who's directing traffic here, you know?
Okay. No, I understand. So you're hoping for a bit of clarification about all of that? Is that what you're asking?
No, I'm just, well, yeah, because, you know, I've been wanting that for years, you know, who's directing traffic here, right?
Right. Okay. Well, I'll explain it the best I can based on my own experiences, what my guides have told me. I mean, it's different for everyone. It has a lot to do with perspective. For myself personally, I focus more on my spirit guides than I do the angels. I feel like angels, they're definitely there, but they're a different species, and they help us as kind of like a collective whole. They can help billions of us at a time. Meanwhile, our spirit guides, the ones that are closest with us, they're there to help us with our unique and specific paths. And yes, there's this balance between having a chart where we have predetermined situations, predetermined relationships, things that we're going to experience while we're here, and then there's the aspect of free will. So when I've seen a chart, I've seen this many times where, I've seen many visions of this actually, of us creating charts, of us focusing on these charts. It's almost like, I'm asking my guides how to word this appropriately. Okay, if you were to think about it as a game, which it's not, but in a sense, that, you know, you set up a game to play, and it's a very intricate game. You know, I don't play board games very much, so I can't think of an intricate game, but something where it takes a while to set up.
something that, you know, it takes a lot of effort and mindfulness to set up the certain areas of each part of this game. And then once you start playing, though, it becomes a matter of free will, a matter of what the choices you make, what's coming at you that was predetermined before that game started. So in a sense, that's kind of what I feel this experience is about, where we have certain things that we're going to experience. Again, I don't feel there's any coincidences. Absolutely, there's things that we just simply have to experience that we planned to prior to our incarnation in order for us to learn the lessons that we intended to learn. But that doesn't mean that we're always going to be specifically on a certain path. There is no wrong path while we're here. Often people will say, am I on the right track? Am I on the right path? The whole thing is the path. You might veer to the left, veer to the right, but it's okay because everything provides us the opportunity to learn and to grow and to experience. So there's no reason to look at ourselves as making mistakes or going the wrong way. Everything that we do, everything that we experience, every choice that we make, you know, obviously every choice does contain consequences, but everything that we do and every choice we make provides us with the opportunity to progress, to learn, to grow, to forgive, to love, to learn to love ourselves, to learn to accept ourselves, you know. And there's no one controller, there's no one, besides the creator, obviously, but, you know, that's a much bigger topic for a different day. But in terms of who's helping us specifically while we're here, guides, angels, animal spirits, it's very much that everyone is connected and there's always someone looking out for us. Does that all make sense? I know that's quite a bit.
Yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense.
And
yeah.
Does it help you kind of clarify things a little bit at all?
Yeah, sort of, because you're always stuck in a position to call my experience. Because I know a lot of people call their guides a lot and then go like, well, what about your free will and treasures? What it's calling. So I don't know. I mean, when you're always, when you connect with spirits or guides on a consistent basis, doesn't that take your power out of you?
No, because they won't provide. They won't provide. First of all, they can't interfere with you. There are certain personality types here where if they really got to know their guides, they would go to them for every little thing. Like, should I have the roast beef or should I have the chicken? You know, like it becomes a bit much. But our guides will stand back. Like they help us with what they can help us with. They guide us with what they can guide us with, but they will never interfere. They won't overstep. So we can never become too reliant on them because simply they have the training and the knowledge to know, okay, we need to allow them some space to make this decision. And they never leave us, but they will not interfere. They will not overstep. They will not get too involved in what we go through here day to day, because to them, it goes by much quicker than it does for us. Our day to day, it can seem so daunting to some of us about all the things we have to go through. But to our spirit guides, it goes through much quicker than we would understand it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, so are you worried about contacting your guides too much? You really can't, because you're always in subconscious communication with them as it is. Having conscious communication with them is a beautiful blessing because we can interact with them. We can, you know, well, especially most spirit guides, I find, especially certain roles, they have quite a sense of humor. So if anything, it helps to think about them as your friends, you know, your loved ones in spirit. They are there to help you and support you, but they won't live your life for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for today. So thank you so much for calling. I hope that you received a bit of what you need. And if you ever want to call back, please do so. And I want to wish you so many blessings, okay?
Sorry, yes. Om Shanti to you. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I really enjoyed this episode. I hope that we can do this again soon. And next Thursday, I believe we're talking about how to heal a blocked throat chakra, which is going to be lots of fun. And then we're going to be doing lots of other fun stuff, doing more spirit messages. We're going to have a guest soon. We're talking about animal communication and intuition. Don't forget, starting June 1st, I'll be doing 20-minute messages for $20. That's going to be a wonderful special for the summer to get some insight and guidance onto your paths. And you can always reach me on my website, www.mediummichellestockatelny.com. I want to wish you all so many beautiful blessings for this weekend and for the week ahead. Take care. Bye.